We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. When I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month, with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels, with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode, a listener finds she is inexplicably drawn to visit her grandfather's grave. One night, a legend explains a hoofed man and the burning down of a local bar. Something does not want its home sold to anyone else. And could a young girl have seen the ghost of her school's first headmaster? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
Good. How are you?
I'm just going back and thinking of my childhood and my elementary years, where the head of my school also wanted to be referred to as the headmaster. It was bullshitting that.
I think it's fairly common in the UK, which is where that story takes place.
I know. That's essentially like the word for principal, right? Is that,
I think so,
kind of how it's, is it used in private school or public school, or does it matter? Or I expect you to know a lot about the British education system here. I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't have any idea if it's only private school or public school, or how the school systems work at all in Britain.
No.
I have no idea.
I just really wanted to have like a little vest with a crest on it that I could
wear
to school every day. You know, like you'd see a television show or a movie or something, and it's like a British, and the one and the kids are in school, and they all have the little jackets, and they're just, everybody's, yeah.
It's just for the kids that could do math.
And I was not one of them.
Yeah.
So, that's how that worked. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Look at my silly putty. It's like, it's really sad.
Your slime?
My slime, yes.
Is it kind of dried out?
It's like tire material at this point. Yeah, I have some slime. Our oldest daughter, Olivia, loves making slime. She's like a slime connoisseur.
She's a slime dealer at school.
Yeah,
she makes slime, all different kinds, sells it to her friends for like $3 or $4.
And it's really good stuff. It's just, I had this stuff on my desk, and you know what? I left it out one night by mistake. I didn't put it back in its nice little airtight case.
Uh-huh.
And the day after that, I realized it was starting to kind of harden up. But I enjoy fidgeting with it. Like, I'll just sit here during the show and just kind of like, nyeh. I think this one's like, I'm going to have to ask her to make another one, because it's like, and it's Slimer colored too.
Well, and I think her school is very much in support of kids that do fidget a lot, giving them something to fidget with, and it helps their focus.
Yeah.
Like even the counselor brings down little fidget toys that go on their pencils or things like that for the kids that have trouble focusing. Livy has earned herself a few of those such toys, but since she's been making slime, nobody said anything about it because these kids, you know, kind of play with it.
Yeah.
And it keeps them quiet and focused.
It seems to work.
Yeah.
I you know, there's part of me with that whole thinking where I'm like, well, how did we ever make it through? But I'm almost, I also look at it and going, yeah, there's, I think, a lot of kids that probably could have really used that, too. You know, I don't want to just take the old man look of, well, we made it, so you can, too. Like, I think there's, with anything, there can be overkill.
Yeah.
Certainly. But I think there are certain things where we could look at that and go, yeah, I think that actually does make some sense.
I always fidgeted with stuff. Yeah. I had, like, a piece of jewelry or something. That's why, sure, I wear charm bracelet all the time, because it's something for me to fidget with.
I think if I had something, if I had a fidget object, mm-hmm, of some sort, I wouldn't have gotten so many slivers in my gums
from chewing pencils.
From chewing pencils, because my mom would buy like the cheap number two pencils, not the ones that would hold up really good. Mm-hmm. I'd get the ones that were like made out of balsa wood or something, and then they would just like, you could take, if you really wanted to, you could chomp down and break that thing in half in one bite.
Yeah,
the, like the good yellow ones, like, uh-huh, that took a lot of gnawing to really get to it, but I would like chew on them, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh gosh, there's something in my, it'll be like popcorn kernels, mm-hmm, but it's parts of a pencil.
Yeah,
this is my childhood.
Yeah.
If only I had a fidget thing.
Well, you have to make some more slime with Livy.
I will. I think I'm going to. I'm gonna make like a big giant thing of slime. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Cody writes in, hi guys, I recently found the show when looking for paranormal podcasts on YouTube, and now I'm hooked. I'm currently unemployed, but once I find a job again, I fully intend on becoming an EPP. Anyway, about a year ago, I got off work at McDonald's and went to hang out with a couple of coworkers. I was 19 at the time. They were planning on hanging out the entire night. However, at about 2 a.m., out of nowhere, I got the overwhelming feeling that I absolutely needed to go see my grandfather. My grandfather had passed about a year and a half before this happened. I've never felt like I absolutely had to see him before. I'd never gone to the cemetery at night. For some reason, I felt like I needed to go see him right at this moment, though, and I had no idea why. I came up with an excuse to leave. I don't quite remember what it was, and I drove straight to the cemetery. I got to the cemetery, and I parked as near as I could. Technically, rules against being there at night. I knew that, but I also knew nobody worked there at night, so I wasn't going to get in any trouble. I also knew it probably wasn't the safest of things to do, but I couldn't stop myself. I got out of my car, walked over to my grandfather's gravestone, stood there for a couple of minutes, trying to figure out why I needed to come. Then I heard something behind me. I turned around, and the noise was a car engine. It pulled over right in front of my car, staying about 20 feet away. But the lights, the headlights created, and the dim lights around the cemetery, I could make out that it was a beige Honda Accord. I'm not sure what year, but I recognized the car. The car looked exactly like the car my grandfather drove. The car continued to run, and the headlights stayed on, but it stayed parked. I stood there frozen for about 5 minutes, just staring at the car. I didn't know what to do. Finally, I guess I figured out how to move again, and I started to walk towards it. Got about halfway to the car, but it was too dark to make out a driver. At this point, I started to pull away. From where the car was, it pulled forward into a curve that comes up parallel to where my car is and goes back to the exit. There were trees on each side of the curve, so once it went behind the tree, I could not see it anymore. I'd been to the cemetery before, and I knew there were only two ways out of the curve. The way the car drove in and the road on the other side, which leads to the exit, and I could see that road. I waited for a couple of minutes, but the car did not exit or enter on either side. I got into my car, drove around the curve myself, and it was gone. It had never exited. I'd have easily been able to see it, yet it wasn't there. Never told anyone this story before, and quite honestly, I wouldn't believe it myself if I hadn't seen it myself. I think this was my grandfather's way of telling me that he's keeping his eye on me, but I'm not sure. I still question what I saw that night, and it'd be really good to finally get someone else's take on what happened. Again, love the show, guys. Keep it up. I want to become an EPP as soon as I can.
I think there's, obviously, I've said this before, no such thing as coincidences, and that's just my personal opinion. So even if somebody had made it into the cemetery and the car hadn't just mysteriously disappeared, say somebody was there, just the timing and everything, and it being exactly like the grandfather's car, mm-hmm, there's just too much
Sure.
Too much going on there.
That in itself would be weird by, you know, just like, oh, well, I'm happen to be here too to visit somebody. It just happens to be his car at that time. And the odds of that are very slim to none to begin with. But to have it be something like that where it is, in fact, you know, somewhat paranormal because the car disappears.
Sure.
That just makes it all the more bizarre and unexplainable, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, you know, she said, you know, maybe it was, you know, the grandfather looking out or keeping an eye on them.
Yeah.
Maybe was there a reason maybe grandpa wanted you to leave that get together?
That could be.
And that's why it was just fairly a peaceful encounter. It wasn't like, and now he left me a message out of the Honda Accord. It was just cars there and then gone. But it drove you out of there. It got you out of there.
And it wasn't the super scary, all of a sudden I came around a tree and there's grandpa.
Yeah.
No, it was just enough to accomplish what it was trying to accomplish.
It was a distraction. It was like squirrel, except dead grandpa and Honda Accord at the cemetery.
Yep.
Squirrel's much easier just to shout out.
It is. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try the other one sometime.
Okay.
I'm going to do that. But it would have to be applicable to like what your own grandparents drove for it to really like resonate with someone.
Okay.
And it's like, grandma's yellow beetle in the cemetery by the drawer. Because she's in one of the drawers.
And a mausoleum.
And a mausoleum. I call it the drawers.
You make it sound like she's in a file cabinet.
Kind of. It's like a marble file cabinet.
Oh.
That would be funny. I don't want the drawer for me. But let's say there's...
Okay.
I don't. I want to be in the ground. If I get to come out and be a zombie someday, I want the privilege of not just popping out of a drawer. I want to be able, like someone sitting there having a picnic and all of a sudden my fingers start coming up and I grab an orange and chuck it at somebody. And then the rest of me pulls myself out and everybody's running down the road as the Thriller music is playing.
Sure.
That's how that shit's going down. But if I did have to be in a drawer, if there's no option, it's like, well, we're sorry, we're out of ground plots now or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody realized, it's like, says it's environmentally unfriendly for the dead to be in the ground. Some shit like that could happen at some point. And I have to have a drawer. I would personally like it to look like a file cabinet drawer. I think that'd be really funny.
I doubt that you get to pick what the outside of your drawer looks like.
That's bullshit. Is there like HOAs at the freaking cemetery too?
We're never going to escape that crap. If I can't freaking paint my front door the color I want, there's no way you're going to decorate your mausoleum drawer the way you want.
It's like, well, you have to pick from this color palette here for your drawer or they'd have like restrictions.
And it's 30 different shades of barf. It is.
It is. That's how it's going to go down. It's going to be like, I really want to decorate it this way because I really want to make it look like a file cabinet drawer because I think it's kind of funny. And handle and all, you know, where people...
The label.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's typed Brewski Comatoni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I think it'd be really kind of fun.
If it's at all possible, I'll see what I can do.
Tons of people will be like trying to pull... So you have to really get that in there good, though, because it's going to be one of those where everybody's walking by trying to pull open the drawer.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to make sure that it's latched and locked. Locked well.
So weird.
But like, you can make it even... I could do it even more radio-ish, where it's like the contest. You put like a little sign in there. It's like rules. If you can open the drawer... You know, you'll win whatever, you know, some sort of, you know, prize of some sort.
Uh-huh.
Two-leg and thigh chicken dinner from Ma and Pa's Grocery Express. Something of that nature.
Okay.
It's really a big incentive prize. I remember we had when radio stations started to get super duper cheap in the early part of the 2000s, and contesting just went downhill. Like, you could used to win some pretty cool shit from radio stations on a fairly regular basis. But then... It got to be where it's like, well, we don't really have a budget for anything like that anymore. They would have these national type contests where it would be the rule stipulated like crack the safe. And it's literally like lottery number picking almost. And if you go to the live broadcast and if you're picked, you get a chance to put some numbers in. And if it cracks it, you win. But your odds are better than are worse than Powerball.
Okay.
And it's just so insanely difficult to win. It's stupid. But you play it up like, ooh, it's a good chance. And then like one person maybe win over the course of, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, that's what I want. I want something like that where it's impossible to win, but you make it seem like it is. So everybody's trying to pull on the drawer.
Okay.
That's what I want.
It's a really long answer for that.
It is. But okay. It's what I want at my grave. So just everyone's aware.
Sounds good.
Prize machine.
Okay.
Slot machine. That'd be fun. A slot machine. Like right there. You can play blackjack on my grave.
I'm sure we have more stories to read.
Carly writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'd love if Tony put a slot machine on his gravesite. That's interesting. What a coincidence. I wrote in a few months ago and just wanted to write in another chilling story. Before we get to that, I just want to say I'm a proud EPP member and it's really fantastic. Anyway, the story stems from my family from Wisconsin. I've heard this from two different people, both who I'm really close with, and their story matched to even the smallest little detail. I didn't really believe it until I did my own little research after hearing it. So my great aunt and uncle, their brother and sister, have always told us their paranormal experiences. Experiences that would even make skeptics shiver. This is one of those stories. Now, you can believe this or not, but it still makes for a really great story. So back in my other stories, I mentioned that I'm Native American. I'm from Michigan, of course, but I also have family from one of the reservations in Wisconsin. The story goes back to the 1900s. I'm assuming a time period that was the late 50s to the mid 70s. There was a type of club on the reservation. It was known to the locals, as they called it, the cupcake. Instead of the cupcake. Anywho, on one night during the weekend, everyone was gathered around. A majority of them were Native American, except for one. No one knew what his name was or even who he was, just that he was a sharp-looking fellow. Fairly tall, appeared to be in his mid-50s, wearing an expensive-looking suit. The man started to walk towards the dance floor and looked around. They finally noticed that he went up to what they say was the prettiest Native woman in there and asked her to dance. They were having a fun time on the dance floor, and about an hour or so, until she looked down to the floor, she was shocked to know that this man didn't have feet, but hooves. He knew that she noticed them, and after that, no one really knew what happened, just that the cupcake burned down. Now, I know that this may seem a little far-fetched, but there's a legend in this tribe, and it tells of him, capital H. If you know who I'm referring to, that's why I won't speak his name. Also because I don't know how to spell it. I'd like to tell of the story where that same aunt caught a ride with him, with her permission, of course, but that's a very popular story among the locals. I know my family have a long history with dark things, not that they're bad, but negative things just attach themselves onto them. Because of the high belief in him, there's a rule that was always told. Never whistle or snap your fingers at night or else he'll know and come. Hope you guys enjoyed, and I absolutely love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. Carly.
We've heard a couple of times about hoofed people in clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's... I'm going to put that more in the urban legend kind of thing.
Sure.
Being that this happened to somebody she's related to makes you wonder.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a source for this line of stories.
It originates somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to go to an area, and I don't know even how you'd pick this. Maybe there's some statistic out there of areas where people are, I don't know what to say, superstitious, but are... Very, I guess what I'm going for is people who are aware of urban legends or aware of stories and things like that and go into their local dance club or honky tonk type bar. You know, just kind of the local. I'm not talking like hipster dance club. I'm talking like the local bar and grill that on Saturday night has a DJ and rig up some sort of a shoe that looks like a hoof. And like wear like kind of really baggy clothes, and then until and you finally get out there dancing, you kind of pull up. Also, people just see these hooves.
Yeah,
that'd be hilarious. In especially, I know when I was growing up, there line dancing was a big thing. I don't think I've seen line dancing since the
line dancing goat person.
Yes, and that's where it really gets shown off because everybody's And they're dancing back and forth to country music. And if they still do that, I don't know. But I'm just thinking that that would be rather entertaining when everybody's up there having a great time. And all of a sudden, the hoofed man starts And they don't realize it's like midway through the Alan Jackson song that the guy next to you that's clapping and spinning has hooves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Be a lot of screams.
Yeah.
It'd probably be something where you get charged for like inciting like a riot.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I was just wearing my hoofed boots.
Right.
It'd be kind of difficult to get your leg to be at that angle constantly.
You'd have to wear like some kind of high heel.
Yeah. That'd be kind of how, yeah. Yeah. I think it could be rigged up though.
Okay.
All sorts of ideas.
Yeah.
Mandy writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I called in a bit ago with a story, but feel like I just ramble. Ha ha. So I figured I'd write in this one. My name's Mandy. I'm from central New York near Syracuse. The one whose parents call the psychotic psychic. LOL. When I was about 23, my ex-fiance and I were looking to buy a home for our new little family, him, our three-year-old daughter, and myself. My job was to find the house, check it out, report back to him if I felt it was a house worth buying. I looked at a ton of homes in the area. Most either needed work or the owners were asking far above what I'd be willing to pay for their home. Then my realtor called me and said that a house had just come on the market. It was huge and old, exactly what I wanted, and right in the middle of the figures I had given her on what I wanted to spend. We met at the house the next afternoon. It was on a dead-end road. The house was a massive three-story home, not including the attic or basement. As we walked around to the back of the house to go in, I got a strange and uneasy feeling, almost as if someone was watching out a window. I brushed it off. As we entered the home, I scooped my daughter up in my arms so she couldn't run around touching things. I still had the odd feeling. A realtor showed me downstairs, and it was beautiful. Fireplaces in every living space, huge kitchen, three living rooms. At this point, I was very excited, thinking this could be my home. As we started up the stairs, I again got this odd feeling and felt as if something was pushing on my chest, trying to make me go back down the stairs, but not hard, like to push me down. Again, I brushed it off because I was so excited to see the rest of the house. As we got to the first landing, I heard a voice in my head say, "Please leave." Again, refer back to the psychotic psychic. I ignored the voice and proceeded up the stairs. When we got to the second floor, I was in awe. It was amazing. Huge bedrooms, large closets, Victorian clawfoot bathtub, just beautiful. Again, I heard a voice. It said, "Please leave." In my head, I replied, "No." I headed up to the third floor. I was even more awestruck with this floor than I was the previous. Two massive bedrooms, another large bathroom. I was immediately drawn to the bedroom to my right, which looked to be the master bedroom. As I walked into the room, I got an immediate sense of dread and panic. I tried to compose myself as to not make my realtor think I was insane. I looked around the room, and there's a large closet to the left and a very small door to the right. When I say small, I mean tiny. I'm 5'2 and weighed around 115 pounds, and the door was only a little bigger than me. I asked what that was, and my realtor said she wasn't sure. I walked over and I opened the door. The dread was now almost overpowering as I felt a strange energy when the door opened. Behind the door was a fairly long, tiny hall, only the size of the door. Even though I knew I should not be in that space, I kept hearing a voice asking me to leave. I went in anyway. At the end of the hallway was a small room with what looked to be a very old teacher's chair in the middle of the room. I thought to myself, WTF, is this a freaking torture room? At this point, my gut and the voice in my head are now at fever pitch. I was panicking. I turned around quickly and left the room. When I hit the stairs, I heard the voice again. This time, there was no please, no pointlessness. I heard, "I warned you." I hauled ass down to the second floor landing, my realtor standing there in shock, looking at me like I was a nut. The look on my face had to have shown my fear. But in just a few short seconds, that fear would turn to utter terror. As I made my way down to the next landing and started down the final set of stairs, I heard in a loud, mean voice, "I told you to get the fuck out." And then out of nowhere, a huge shove from behind that almost sent me down the stairs with my daughter in my arms. I ran from the house, my realtor chasing me, yelling, "What's wrong? What happened?" I said nothing. I pretty much threw my daughter into the car seat, ran to the driver's side, and started the car. As I slammed it into drive, I looked up at the master bedroom window only to see an old, scary-ass looking man peering at me. Needless to say, the realtor never called me again, and my ex and I built a brand new house. That's the end of that story. Love the show. I'm now an EPP and have a lot of catching up to do. Thank you for all you do, Mandy.
Have to love the joys of house hunting as a sensitive person.
Yeah.
Because this sounds like it was such a strong feeling that even if she wasn't sensitive, that something would have still let her know that's not her house.
Yeah. What's the worst house hunting experience you've ever had where you felt uncomfortable? I can think of one in this neighborhood.
Yes.
Where you were like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah, we noped the fuck out of there pretty quick. And I felt bad because it was one that the real estate agent had picked to show us. And it was beautiful from the outside. Mm-hmm. But there was some bad energy in there.
It was a really weird layout, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was too many hallways, too many walls, too many doors that really kind of didn't really lead to much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get, you know, these older homes are a lot more rigid like that, but these are not super old homes. These are homes that were built the earliest in the 90s. But I'm thinking it was very bizarre the way that house was laid out and where things went and why that was like, I don't know. It was strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was probably it for me.
I mean, how much of it was just the unsettlingness of this is one of the strangest layouts I've ever seen in a house? And how much of it was there's something else there?
There was something else there. Livy didn't even go in the basement. You remember that? She would not go downstairs. And she's our little sensitive one, too.
Yeah.
But you could tell this particular house, they had custom built a very large workshop in the basement, which you would think would be perfect for me. But I think there were things that they were working on, which it looked like they did a lot of work with the antiques. Something had something with it.
Like maybe not so much the people doing something bad or anything like that. More so like there's something here with, I mean, there was a lot of reclaimed wood, a lot of reclaimed parts of stuff.
And there were vanities that were made out of old dressers. I mean, some of these things weren't going to be leaving when the people moved.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what thing it was, but there was something there that had something attached.
It's like, name that piece of haunted furniture.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a new thing in the world of real estate where it's like, I got the client, they really like this home, but they feel there's something wrong with it. And it's probably something that's attached with the home, but like a fixture of some sort. Can you come in and take that out? And it's not beridding the home of the ghost or anything like that. It's just someone who goes and takes the haunted object out and calls it good.
I don't know. I would say that was even weirder than the house where the people were renting and they refused to leave for us to view the home. And they were still hanging out in one of the bedrooms when we were there walking around their house.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I remember that. They're like, yeah, you can't go in that room. And then the master bedroom that we went in to look at, there was like a bra just sitting in the sink. Yeah. And it's like they didn't want to leave. And I don't think they did.
No, they didn't.
They were renting it. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I'm going to make this as uncomfortable as I possibly can for the people so we can keep renting this place. And
yeah.
Adventures. I don't plan on moving at all, but do you ever miss just wandering around looking at houses just for the fun of it?
I miss doing the parade of homes.
Yeah.
In Wichita, where you go around to brand new homes and you see things that have been done. But we used to also go to an area where there were a lot of older homes called College Hill, and that was a great place to go and see estate sales because half of the fun is just wandering around through the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of miss that. There's not a whole lot of estate sales here that are done actually in
the home,
the older home. A lot of times they take the stuff out and they put it in like kind of other locations.
Yeah. It's always interesting. I always like walking through the homes. The newer homes, you're pretty much guaranteed to get nothing out of. I like going through older homes and the open houses. That'd be fun to do more of that. Do they do many open houses around here? I don't even.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do.
Maybe it's not the volume of people because it's such a seasonal area. I can still think of homes I went to as a kid on some of those open houses that were like, wow, that's really neat.
Well, and then, the whole area added together, outlying areas included, mm-hmm. is about 20,000 people.
Yeah.
So there's just not, when you're compared to where we moved from.
Yeah. Volume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jordan writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, my name's Jordan from Toronto, Ontario. I've been listening to you guys for a year now. I love the show. Listening to you guys and the stories you share at work really helps my day go by fast. I have an experience I'd love to share. I've been in the paranormal since I was a young kid. My mom was a big influence on that because she, too, is a sensitive, and we both like to explore the paranormal, whether it be a cheesy movie or raw footage found on the internet. This story took place about 2 years ago in Windsor, Ontario, at one of my best friend's houses. We're going to call this friend Eli. Now, a little bit of backstory. Eli's dad was a biker type of guy. He was a badass dude, but had a heart of gold and loved his friends and family. Eli's dad passed away when he was very young to hepatitis C. I never met his dad, but I've been told a lot of stories about him through Eli. Now, skipping ahead, I was at Eli's house for his mom's birthday party. We were in the backyard and joined by her friends, Eli's friends and some of his family members. Everyone was having a great time, sharing jokes and stories around the fire pit. I was leaning against a patio bar, standing next to one of my friends, and all of a sudden, I get a feeling that someone behind me was trying to walk, but there was not enough room. I moved out of the way, allowing whoever was behind me to squeeze by, but I froze slightly. For a quick second, I saw a silhouette of a man who stood about the same height as me. I did not see a face on him, but I was able to point out he was wearing a light blue bandana and a leather vest with patches all over, along with a bright blue shirt. I see this figure for half a second before I blink, and it disappears completely. I kind of shook my head and looked around to see if anyone else had noticed, but everyone else was still going about the party, having a good time. I didn't say anything to anyone about it at the time and just brushed it off for the night. About a week later, I told Eli about this incident that happened in his backyard. Once I described what the figure was wearing, Eli froze and didn't say anything. He then got up, walked over to a shelf where he grabbed a framed picture that he had brought over. He asked me, "Did the guy look like this?" As he handed me the picture of him and his parents, there was his dad in the picture, wearing the same bandana and blue shirt and leather vest with all the patches on it that I just saw in the shadow figure. Never seen his dad until he showed me this picture, so you can understand the shiver that ran up my spine as I saw the picture. I didn't find this scary at all, but more of a cool feeling, and was glad to share that with Eli. What do you guys think? Did I see my friend's dad? Was it just a shadow figure, or were my eyes playing tricks on me? I love the show. I have other stories I'd love to share with you guys another time. Thanks for being you guys.
I think you saw your friend's dad, because even if you did just see the shadow, your mind knew what colors and everything you were seeing, even if your eyes didn't.
I guess that's my question. How did you know those colors and the clothing and all that with it being a shadow?
I think you see it in your mind's eye.
One of those things just kind of gets communicated to you, mm-hmm. almost like where they say, I don't believe that the ghost audibly said this to me, but I picked up the message.
Yeah.
Type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, given that there was really nothing else going on here, nothing weird or out of, this is out of the ordinary, but nothing where it's like, and then he had a hoof or
right.
something was off. Mm-hmm. I think you just maybe caught him passing through.
Sure.
That's all that was. Thanks for sharing that with us. Stacy writes in, this happened back in 1976 when my cousin Diane and I were in the fourth grade. My parents and I moved into a two-story house the previous year. The three bedrooms and bathrooms were upstairs. The living room, small dining area, and kitchen were downstairs. From the upstairs, you could see the entire living room, front door, and part of the kitchen, and the side door. There were a few creepy things that had happened to me in this house, but I wanted to share this story because there was a witness, and to this day, we both remember the same event. My mom was outside working on the yard, and my dad was not home. My cousin Diane and I were playing the Sunshine Family. They were similar to Barbies, but were more like country folks' version of Barbies. We were both sitting on my bed. My cousin's back was to my bedroom door, and I was sitting across from her while I could see my bedroom door. My door was only two steps away from my bed. It was a very small bedroom. As we were playing, we heard a sound right outside of my door in the hallway. I can't remember what kind of sound, but it was loud enough for the both of us to look up from what we were doing to look straight at my bedroom door. It was the strangest thing we both ever had seen. In my doorway was just hair. It looked like when someone leans over and the long hair falls from their face, so it has an angle to it. But there was no face. It was a light brown hair, and it was just there. I can still see it vividly. My cousin Diane turned around to look at me, which I looked at her for a brief second. When we looked up, I said, "Mom," and it was gone. We took the two steps to my door, and no one was in the house. I could see downstairs, outside of the living room windows, that my mom was outside pushing the mower. We both ran down the stairs and outside. We both, to this day, remember it like it was yesterday. Never told my parents because parents don't believe their kids. I did ask my mom if she happened to just be in the house or anyone else went in, and she replied no. I never had this happen again, but it is a spooky and fun memory Diane and I will always share. By the way, we call it the Hair People story. Thank you for letting me share this.
Hair People.
It's like Cousin It.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that. That's weird.
It's one of those things where, now, if you reference Addams Family type things, there's this whole generation has no clue what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah. Because even the movies were made in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So
it's like, what?
Yeah.
Because we were a generation once that probably didn't recognize until the movies came out.
No. I watched the Addams Family.
Did you?
The Addams Family and the Munsters.
In reruns.
Yeah. Those were two of my favorites.
Yeah. I didn't watch much of that. I don't know if it just wasn't on or whatnot. It's kind of surprising,
yeah.
You know, for my interest in ghosts. But I didn't really watch those in reruns.
I bet Harp would love that.
Would she be? Could she get into black and white? You think?
I don't know. Probably not, because you can't.
I don't know. I think she's more adaptable than I am on a lot of things.
Maybe
be worth showing it to her. I think she kind of, because she enjoys. There's that. What is it? Is it Monster? It's not. Not Monster. No, the Vampirina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a vampire type cartoon.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the content of ghostly type things. I say she doesn't watch Monster High is like a little older, right?
Yeah.
Targeted or I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed at the amount of children shows that are out there now that are kind of spookily based.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I like the ghost, the elements of it. Renee writes in, "Hi, I am Renee from Las Vegas, Nevada, a proud EPP member. And here's my story. Mom grew up in a house which was at least 100 years old outside of Kansas City. She had a few experiences there, but I'll just share one now. She was anywhere from 6 to 11 years old during her stay there. She said she always felt uncomfortable in the upstairs rooms. She felt real fear whenever she would discover her mother had gone downstairs without her. She fell down the long, steep stairs one day. Doesn't know if she was pushed. The one story she's told me over and over again at my behest is the one which scares me, but she doesn't think it was all that scary. Often she'd feel something large would come into the room. It was about the size and shape, as far as she could discern, as a large panther. It never felt malicious, but rather somewhat protective of her. There were times when the panther would actually rest his head on her bed, on the side of her bed, not the foot. Red eyes would show at times, but again, she wasn't afraid. Silly girl, she said she could actually feel it going under her bed, moving around and then settling. She never had the nerve to look under her bed, though. This panther never followed her or did anything but come into the room. I have other stories, some of my gift experiences as well. Love the show, the banter, and Tony's wacky sense of humor. I love the idea of the ghost security I have simply saved, so I'm wondering how they would add this to their inventory. I'm a proud EPP member as of May. I don't know if I will ever get through all the EPP episodes, much less your archives. Renee from Las Vegas, P.S. I found you on iTunes, have subscribed. And did the whole Facebook like thingy as well.
You know, it kind of makes you wonder if it's like a spirit animal thing.
Yeah, because it's not like a threatening.
No, and the way it came in and kind of wanted to just rest by her.
Mm-hmm. That's the only direction I think I could take with it.
Mm-hmm.
Without it being, because it wasn't trying to be threatening. It was just there.
Right.
Yeah. We hear stories of that from various cultures and such. Paige writes in, so this is a long story. I first started to know of issues when I was very young, around 7 or 8. I was living with my mom and brother in Iowa in a nice house, but it was right next to an abandoned house. Everything was still in there. A whole lot of old things from around the 1920s to like 1990. It's about the same size of our house, 3 bedrooms, 1 bath. Me and my mom's old roommates, kids, went into the house to play a small game. Nothing happened. But a week later, my mom and her had her a satanic friend over. I'm friends with him on Facebook now. And I was asleep because it was 2 a.m. To me, it was a normal night. My room was set up with my bed along with the wall, so if I turned over, I could see the living room with my door open. Around 3-ish, my mom and her friend had heard someone talking in my room to them, and it sounded like an older person, and I was just a 7-year-old girl. My mom gets up to check on me, and apparently I was sitting up with my legs crossed and speaking a very long conversation with big grown-up words, professional conversationalist almost. My mom called her satanic friend over to my room, and once he saw me, he bolted out the door telling my mom to keep me in the room. He came back about 3:15 with the religious doll statue. He slowly walked into my room with my mom and set the doll on my bed. Apparently, it flew from my bed to the living room. Mom didn't tell me this until it was around 12-ish. The rest of the time we lived there, I was having night conversations and getting and walking to the basement door. I have very little memory of this, but my mom was scared. So after 3 years, we moved out to Minnesota. I was still sleepwalking and speaking, but it was not as bad as before. We recently moved into an apartment with 4 bedrooms and 1 bathroom. After a couple of months, I was starting to hear weird noises coming from the hallway. I brushed it off as my 3 cats, but then it started to sound like crawling. I would see things pass by my bedroom door and hear things coming from the corners of my room. I told my mom. She brought it. She brought her dad's friend to bless the house. It worked for a few more months, but then me and my ex-girlfriend, another friend, bought a Ouija board and played it in my living room. Nothing happened in my house, but a lot of happened to my exes. After a few days, my ex was playing it with her friend at her house. She was and still is having many issues with the demon following her. We had a video call and it was getting very tense. I wanted to get a reaction from the demon. I grabbed my Bible and started to read out loud. It got more aggressive and then my Bible was thrown from my hand and against the wall. My phone shut off and I was hearing a yelling telling me to stop. I then called my friend back and they said it just stopped. I was in tears because of how scared I was. Later that week, my mom told me that I was walking, walking grudge down the hallway, mumbling how I was lost, no way back, I'm scared. I only remember her grabbing me and bringing me back to my room. Nothing has happened as of late. We haven't used the Ouija board in a month, but I started to see shadows again, and I heard a few voices.
So I think maybe the paranormal kind of latched on to her by accident, but then she kind of seemed to stir it up.
I'd say stop doing shit that's going to invite it in. That would be my obvious piece of advice there. The more you involve yourself with the world of the occult and things of that nature, the more likely you are to have it happen. And if you continue to do that, I guess you really can't complain about it.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how I feel.
You get what you get.
It's like, pretty much. It's like if this is what you're surrounding yourself with, don't be shocked when it happens. Although I didn't really hear, it wasn't at the end of this, like, how do I get rid of it? Maybe she's cool with it.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But there you go. Claire writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm not much of a radio listener. I'm a new listener and love the show. I'm Claire and I'm from Liverpool, England. I've always been a believer of, after seeing and hearing many voices, I always hear a woman saying my name and it's so loud. I answer to it. Anyway, my story is when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was in school, which was rumored to be haunted, but I never knew about it at the time. In about spring of 1989, my classmate and I went to the big girl's toilet during a break. My classmate waited for me in the changing room while I went to the toilet. I heard her run out, so I opened the door while sitting on the toilet, and to my shock, I saw a woman wearing a hooded dress which touched the floor, and she was glowing bright blue. She was walking and reading a large brown book. I saw her dress touch the floor and she wore a hood up and had red lipstick. Must have watched her walking for a minute or two before pulling up my knickers to my knees. Don't make fun, Tony. I ran out into the gym room to the playground. My classmate said to me, "Did you see that?" And she explained what she saw, which was the same thing I saw. The next week and a half, we had a brief history lesson on the school, and we were told the school was built in 1932, and the first headmaster was a woman named Elizabeth. I've always wondered if it was her. Over the years, I've had many things happen to me, which I lost two of my cats. I've heard scratches and meows and felt them jumping on my bed when I was in hospital in a room with a few patients. Everyone was in bed, and I saw a four-foot figure by the doorknob. It had a green face and orange eyes. I shouted out, "I just saw something," but no one cared and told me to go to sleep. I could move my feet and tuck them into my nightdress to protect them. From someone grabbing them. Anyway, thanks for reading my story. I think Tony is such a nice radio voice. I like Jenny, too. Please put this on the normal YouTube show, as I'm not an EPP yet.
So, I think it sounds like it's one of those schools where kids stay, like a boarding school.
Sure.
I bet you those are kind of a hotbed for activity, because usually they're fairly old, and you have a lot of kids around, and that sounds like that would attract things.
It's a lot of energy.
It's kind of like college dorms.
Mm-hmm. But it's like it's a bunch of kids, you know, even younger with them. I mean, sometimes that's even higher energy.
Yeah.
I would say. I think that that's a fairly accurate assessment of, the energy in a place like that. Thanks for sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, press subscribe on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever it may be. Some stars, some reviews. That's always helpful. Helps us grow in those rankings. So please do that as well, if you don't mind. And if you really super duper like the show, become an EPP. Extra podcast person. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. You get a bonus episode every single week. Access to our almost 200 episode archive of EPP bonus episodes exclusively for EPPs. It's all there at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is to be an EPP. Check that out. You can even do it through Patreon as well. The link is there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.